step right up. The show's about to begin. Forget your troubles and raise your cups. Here's to this moment, it will never happen again. This is Offstage and On the Air, performance number 330. I am Lisa Sheps. I am joined this fine sunny Wednesday afternoon by my co-host, Miss Nicole Shiro, straight from Austin City Limits. You are listening to us on KOOP Hornsby Austin 91.7 FM, streaming live at koop.org. Remember, if it's theater, it's on Offstage and On the Air.
Hurry, hurry, step right up. The show's about to begin. Forget your troubles and raise your cup. Step right up. Feast your eyes on the wonders of this world. Oh, yeah.
It is Wednesday, October 7th, 2015. On the show today, we have Weird City Theater's production of House on Haunted Hill. And a little later, we're going to talk to our very, very dear friends at the Vortex Rep and their gala, Salvador Dali's Naked Feast. All that with news and views of the world of theater in Austin, Chicago, New York, Los Angeles, Barcelona, Spain, and the House on Haunted Hill.
It's true what you've heard, like a bird, how you lift and your chest feels a pole, like you're full of a joy.
It's sort of a Halloween-y kind of thing today.
Is it?
Well, it is, and we got the House on Haunted Hill, and it's sort of Halloween-y.
Well, there you go.
Which reminds me, I had a hot dog for dinner last night. Halloween-y with it.
Yeah, spooky. I got it.
Spooky. Love's kind of spooky with a spooky little spook like you. Spooky. I want to thank Tracy for another really wonderful remix. He had all those people from ACL. I did a live remote from ACL.
Tracy's good at those.
Yeah,
live
you
weren't.
Remotes. You were there at ACL.
I was there at ACL. It's my. Can you not hear the? No, schnooky sinus stuff.
You sound
from
like your normal
notes.
Sexy self, girl.
Oh, God, no.
So, did you enjoy yourself?
I did. I've only seen one other thing happen at ACL with one Liza Minnelli that I saw at Billy Idol. Forgot the lyrics to Rebel Yell
there
in
you go.
The middle of Rebel Yell. Everybody said, I've never seen that. I was like, I have with one Liza Minnelli.
Did he forget Billy the chorus? Because you know, he could have just turned the microphone.
It was
to
in
this.
The middle of the chorus, Lisa, which is really sad. But he restarted just like Liza Minnelli, and he killed
well,
it.
Well, you know what? I've often mistaken those two for each other.
Well, you know, they both like short, spiky hair and...
There you go.
Well, I guess one wears leather know. And one wears muumuus. I don't
Whatever.
Know.
Whatever. So I want to remind folks that if you are not listening to the podcast, you should be listening to the podcast. And you can get that podcast on iTunes and Stitcher. And we also, we perform a service here at Offstage and On the Air.
Yes, we do. We allow you to just get Lisa and Nicole delivered in your mailbox.
Right. Go to offstageonair.com and just sign up and we'll send you... Every Thursday morning, it'll be right there when you wake up.
We arrive.
And one of the things that you get with the podcast that you don't get her on the broadcast is Backstage at Offstage, and
that was an awesome segment.
We learn a little bit about our guests. We get the answer to the trivia question.
Most importantly.
Come on. And so do that. Also, while we're on the subject of this, I'm sort of depressed.
Why?
Well, you know, we love people to like us on Facebook.
People unliking us? I didn't
we have a complex here at Offstage
yes,
and On the Air.
That is true.
We feel we have chips on our shoulders.
I haven't been able to sleep.
So we lost a like last week.
See, but I saw the gain a like.
No, we didn't gain any likes.
That was
we
a
lost
loss?
A like.
I read that wrong.
We lost a like. We L an L.
Can we call them out?
So, no, I don't know who we lost. I don't know who we lost. But if it was you and you know who you are,
get back in there and
we
give
still
us a
love
thumbs
you.
Up. Be the Fonz. It's okay.
Let's talk about who's here with us in the studio today. Jenny Bauer. Hi.
Hello there.
Mackenzie Cade.
Hey.
Kelsey Smith.
Hello.
Ms. Bonnie Cullum.
Hello.
Melissa Voigt.
Hello. Vote for you.
And our special guest, Mr. Salvador Dali.
Bueno.
Habla inglés?
Yes, I do.
Oh, good, good.
I do not know these likes, but you seem lovely, and I seem to like you too.
Thank you.
So, yes.
Mi español no es bueno.
No, it's not.
Oh,
that's
that was
true.
Good, Lisa.
That's true. So we, let's see. Oh, the weather.
I think it's quite lovely
yeah,
out.
It's nice. So that's the official weather from the Weather Service.
My plumerias are looking good.
I don't know what that is, but it sounds like a disease of some sort.
No, it's a beautiful plant.
And I'm
that
guessing
gives
the
you
weather.
The flowers for the lays.
Yeah, so I have the same thing like with my knees, my plumeria with my knees. Yes. So we had a listener that wrote me a lovely note, and I want to share it.
Oh.
So this is a longtime listener from out of town, from the Milwaukee, Wisconsin area.
I'm going to say they're not the person who unliked us.
No, no. Carol Lee would never unlike us. So here it is. You ready?
I'm ready.
I've been listening to your radio show regularly again for the last few months. You are so good at interviewing guests.
Oh, Carol. Yeah.
Please. Yay. Yeah, no, hold your applause. Please, hold your applause. and of course, your wit makes me laugh out loud a few times per broadcast.
Oh.
Recently, you were talking to a guest about his part in the Rocky Horror Picture Show. Which, of course, is the Rocky Horror Show. You said that you were supposed to play the part of Dr. Frankenfurter, and he did instead. You said something like, I was supposed to get that part. He said, oh, you auditioned? You said, no, I don't audition. I just expect people to give it to me. I laughed so hard. It was so quick. And I love the new part, Backstage at Offstage.
Oh.
It's cool to find out the background of all your guests and lets you and Nicole share more stories, too. Excellent format. Except
she didn't mention how much she likes my trivia question.
Oh, it's P.S. I'm sorry. Keep the trivia questions going. I learn so much, and I feel much more of a whole person.
Yeah, okay. Well, Carol Lee, thank you.
Yeah,
that's awesome.
We love Carol Lee, and shout out to her and her.
Warm fuzzies via email are always a good thing. We like those.
I will say this, that she sent a picture along with that of her and her miniature donkey.
I didn't. Well, you didn't share that.
I know.
I want a miniature donkey.
We had an opening.
We did.
We did. Do you know which one I'm talking about?
I believe
there was actually two, but I'm only going to talk about one. Well, you know, because it's on your script. Cloud Nine.
Okay.
Yeah, because you're probably thinking of that other one, which I can't even remember the name of it. That's how much of an impression it made on me.
There you go.
There you go. Atlantic
Harold
Theater Company.
Pinter's show. Yeah.
Was it a Pinter show?
Yep.
I didn't really pay attention.
Mm-hmm. That's okay.
Here, wait.
Pinter Schminter.
Everybody, just be quiet for a second. Okay, great. That's for Pinter.
You were lost in the pause.
The Pinter pause.
Okay, thank you. That was a very, okay. If you know. So the Atlantic Theater Company opened a new production of Cloud Nine.
Yeah.
And I'm very partial to Cloud Nine because I worked on the original.
And I didn't know that.
Yeah, I worked on the original with Tommy Toon, and I read the script. And you have known this because I've told the story that I was my very dear friend, may he rest in peace, Murray Gitlin, was the production stage manager. He wanted me as ASM, but the ASM had to understudy, so I had to audition for Tommy Toon.
Yes, I did know this story.
Needless to say, I did not get the job at that point. I ended up being a replacement ASM. It was pretty bad. But I remember I read the script. Before, has anybody seen or know the script of Cloud Nine?
Yeah, we did it. We did it at SMU.
You did it at SMU.
Mm-hmm. What
did you play?
I wasn't in it. Okay. No, but it was one of our.
Bonnie, do you know it?
Yeah, I saw the production at Capital City Playhouse back in the day.
Okay, Capital City here
in Austin. Yeah. Yeah.
Any notable people that we know now that were as in it back then? No.
Bonnie's like, you really want me to remember? Look at her. She just gave you over the face. Like,
80s.
Lady, come on.
I remember the 80s.
I know.
In a fog.
Okay, I just hesitate to say because I really
I hear you. Interesting that you'd say that about the memory because my memory of Cloud Nine, the production that I did, I was like, I know John Pankow was in it. A whole bunch of people that we all know that are really well-known stars. And I just, for the heck of it, went and looked at the old review, and I pulled up a review, and there was a lot of names that I didn't... Jelko Ivanovich, you would recognize him. He does a lot of... television. He's the chief of staff in Madam Secretary.
Yeah.
Jelko
yeah.
Ivanek.
Yes.
Anyway, he was in it. But I was like, the cast wasn't like completely familiar to me. And then what I realized is I was reading the re-review after a year. So I went back and read. So what I did was I created a melange of people because I thought John Pankow was in the original, but he wasn't.
You were putting all the cast together.
But I worked on it for about a year. So.
In your world, they were all in it.
Anyway, so this production, Atlantic Theater Company, is really quite good. But what I found interesting is they were talking about how Cloud Nine, Ben Brantley did the review. He was worried about going to see it because this was 1981. One didn't know. So this show plays with gender and sexuality, and it deals with a lot of things that we're relatively aware of in today's date. But in 1981... Not so much.
A little living on the edge there.
Yeah. So he was worried that it was going to be a little trite or blasé or not relevant anymore. But according to Ben Brantley, still very relevant. So
Ben Brantley says it.
Yep. He liked this production a lot. It was done in the round in a basically bare set. What theater? Oh, it's at the... a theater that I have not heard of, but it's part of, I guess it's where Atlantic does its stuff. It's at the, I wrote it here somewhere.
I forgot the name.
I'm going to come up with it because I'm going to look at it on this piece of paper.
I'm going to call it That Theater.
I think that's a good idea. Doesn't say. It says it in here somewhere. The Linda Gross Theater. Hey. Yeah, I find that theater a little gross.
Zing. Ladies and gentlemen.
Anyway, so one of the things that we talk about on the show a lot is the erudite use of language. That critics use, and that you need to have a dictionary. So I ran across a couple of words in this particular one that words that I knew, but then as I read them in this context, I said, "Well, maybe I don't know them as well. I don't really know what they mean."
Where's your SAT score now?
Yeah. So
well, the numbers changed since we took the SAT scores. Just so you know, it's a whole nother system.
Here it is. So I'm going to read you the sentence, and y'all, and this is two words that. I didn't really know the meaning. I didn't know actually the meaning. So let's see how y'all do. But Miss Churchill's play is far less polemical and arch than I remembered. So polemical and arch. Who knows what polemic is? I mean, we read it all the time, right? Nobody? Anybody?
I'm drawing a blank on that.
It's a strong attack.
Political. Yeah.
Well, it's just any strong attack, either verbally or written. And I didn't know that.
It's what you do all the time.
You hear, yeah. Shut up. So you always hear somebody talking about somebody wrote a polemic. Mm-hmm. And I never really realized what it is. And the other word that we should have known is arch. Because, you know, arch enemy, arch rival.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
What's arch mean?
Extreme.
Okay, the close. Thank you for playing.
Yeah.
Oh, extreme. You need to speak into the microphone. I heard you.
Extreme.
Yeah, you're wrong. Totally wrong. No, you're close. Anybody?
That's about where I was.
It means feeling a superiority.
Uh-huh. Oh, once again, another thing.
I know. I learned a lot of that. And then here's another one.
He was on fire this week, wasn't he?
Well, no, these are things that I'm surprised that I did not know the proper thing for. So it's an anxious menage. What does menage mean? So we've all heard of menage a trois, right?
Mm.
Yeah.
What does menage mean?
I'm going to say a group.
That's what one would think.
A
house.
A blend?
A blend, no. So, but a group is close.
Menagerie.
Well, not really.
Can you use it in a sentence?
Yes.
It's an anxious menage.
Okay,
here, I'll finish the whole sentence. It's an anxious menage, and not just because the African natives are dangerously restless.
That did not help.
Okay.
Members? Yeah, so like a combination of things.
I'm just going to tell y'all guys. Members of a household.
What?
So menage. Yes, yeah, so it's members of a household.
I did not know that.
Yeah. So, but anyway, loved the show. And that's basically it. You don't have a whole bunch of chances to see it. Those of you going to New York, it closes November 9th or 10th, I think.
Yeah, I think you are correct on that.
So... November 1st.
Oh, even sooner.
Close. Even sooner. So that's that. You want to talk about one of your little favorite things? Give us one of your little favorite things.
I wasn't prepared.
You weren't ready. Okay, no. Then I'll keep going.
Oh, well, they put the complete cast out for The Color Purple. And I know it's, they're doing the reworked version that was.
Is this the one with Jennifer Hudson?
Yes.
Yes.
And they're doing the version that they just did in the West End, which I knew they made changes from the original. Mm. I didn't realize they took 30 minutes off the show.
That's a long
time.
Did? Wow.
What did Oprah have to say about that?
Oprah's part of this production. Oh, okay. So Oprah is like, get on. Come on. Okay.
Oddly enough, it didn't feel long to me.
I was about to say, there was no reason to take the 30 minutes out. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I'm even curiouser now. But yes, the whole cast is out now. There you go. That's my.
So my favorite young actor is Sidney Lucas.
Yes.
And those of you that watch the Tonys are familiar with her. She plays the young, I forgot the character's name.
I can't forget the, yes.
Her in Fun Home. And her brother, do you know who her brother is? Jake Lucas. Anybody? Crickets?
Well, what's he do?
He might be a performer.
Yep, but doing what?
Well, then that gives the whole thing away. He's actually, he is a performer as well. He is the, I don't remember the character's name, in King and I. He's the little boy.
Oh, he's an actor. Like, you know, performer, he could have been in a boy band. What do
he
I know?
He could have been. Well, I didn't want
he's
to give.
He's in One Direction. So,
I had a professor one time tell me that an actor is not a performer, they are an actor.
So. That's not true, though. Yeah. He would be wrong.
Well, I agree.
And I will tell him. He's the one that unliked us.
Another unlike.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
So anyway, Sidney Lucas has left Fun Home, the show. And interestingly enough, I had to look when I discovered that both of these siblings were both actors and successful Broadway actors. I had to figure out how they got there. Their parents had to be in the business and stuff. No. But they own like some sort of startup tech company,
and their kids just wanted to
Barry
act.
Moore is they
and both
are
of
not.
Them, yeah. So. But there's a video, and I think I have a link to it on the site that features both of them, and I want to play the audio from that. So let's listen.
If you really love acting, there's nothing else that can satisfy that craving of. When you're backstage and you have butterflies.
I really don't have nerves.
You're like, oh my gosh, I'm so excited.
I'm really used to the stage.
But I'm nervous. Oh my gosh, what's gonna happen? You go on stage. Do you feel my heart singing high? And then there's like a warmth that goes through your body like, oh my gosh, I belong.
Believe your brain and the trip will take you far. As
one home commercial take 7,000,000,000,000,000. This is uncommon, but we are like best friends.
Well, I always had them in a double stroller because they're 13 and a half months apart.
We're like this, like we finish each other's sentences.
We just sit down at the same time. Jake is introverted, Sydney is extroverted. With Sidney around, it kind of helped bring him out of his shell.
Like, not just for these shows, but for, like, new auditions that come in. Since we both know what it's like to go through that process.
If we see a character, we can both put in our different opinions and make the character the best.
Because we have empathy for each other. You know, when you have a best friend, they might be, like, the complete opposite of you, but at the same time, they're, like, exactly like you. And that's what we are. And
we're boy and girl, but we relate a lot.
We search for people who are like us.
Yeah.
It's like when you're looking for a pet and you're like looking for a dog or a cat, you pick the one that looks like you.
Yep. My dog looks like me. Isn't that
actually
a great little interview?
My dog looks like me.
So on offstageonair.com, there's a link to that video. I cut out a little bit, which was totally visual. So you can see the whole thing. It's really, really, really sweet. And I love that they're good friends. And
it's like my brother and I. We're housemates and best friends.
I was just going to say that they remind me of Casey and you.
We used to do theater together too, actually.
Yeah, I was going to say that's what they remind me of.
I love my brother.
I know. All right. So that's that. We're sad to see her leave, but I think that she's going to do really, really wonderful things. Here's some pictures of those people.
Brother plays Anna's son in King and I.
Yes. Who I didn't, y'all probably know her, Anna's, we've talked about this on the show before. Anna's last name. It's like Leon Lowell, blah, blah, blah. Yeah, it's like,
let me sit and mull on it, and I'll come back out.
It's all right. It's really not that big of a deal. Okay, so that's that. Very quickly, because we're, of course, running out of time, Bob Saget is going into Hand of God to close it out.
I think that's kind of cool.
It's his second time on Broadway.
Yes.
Or second time in theater.
Yes.
You know, Hand of God's playing at the Booth, and that's one of my favorite.
Of
the straight playhouses, that's my favorite.
Yeah.
It's beautiful.
I agree with
you. It may be because it's the first Broadway house that I actually was in backstage and running around in, because that's where Elephant Man was.
Oh, that could be. It's a good theater. I agree with you.
On Your Feet began its previews, and it opens on the 5th of November.
Mm-hmm. There were some good stills from that. Gloria looked very happy after her first preview night.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. So that's that.
She seemed like she was on her feet.
I wish I could remember the second part of that lyric. I would have gone.
Get up and make it happen.
There you go. Get up and make it happen. Hunchback of Notre Dame, the Disney classic.
Yes.
Went into the studio to record a cast album.
Yes.
But it's been delayed. It's now gonna. It was gonna come out in November. It's now coming out, I think, in January or December.
Yeah, they were supposed to record it a while ago and pushing the recording.
Is it still
back
at La Jolla, or has it moved?
Oh, it's not.
No, it's not
gone.
There anymore. Patrick Page is in another show right now. He's doing Spring Awakening.
Yeah, it's nowhere.
The deaf one, right? Mm-hmm. Yeah,
Awakening. Yeah. Deaf West production of Steam.
A friend of mine's husband is working on that as well.
Lovely. Mm-hmm. We need you to talk into the microphone when next time you speak. Because we want to hear you. So, but the music is Alan Menken and Stephen Schwartz.
Yes.
So that's that. You want to talk about?
They found a home for American Psycho.
Yes, they did.
Oh, that's exciting.
I don't know why I'm not excited about that show.
I am. You know why?
Because I've never seen it or read it.
You've never seen it. You've never read it. I have done all of the above. I spent an evening with Bret Easton Ellis, so I have a connection. I didn't spend an evening. Oh my gosh, I need to rephrase that. In public.
No, you don't. We liked it phrased that way.
Yeah, no, it wasn't one of those kind of evenings. But it was a very interesting evening with Marilyn Manson and John Waters. That's another story.
Yeah, that sounds interesting.
I will pay to hear that.
That's another story. But so it's actually going to be pushed back a bit. It's going to be March 26th at preview start instead of February 19th. But it's at the Gerald Schoenfeld Theater. Dun, dun, dun,
Jerry
dun,
Schoenfeld,
dun.
But, who I have met, by the way.
Opening night has not exactly been set. But they're going to do it before the April 26th to be cut off to make it eligible for the Tonys.
Lovely. Last thing I'll say is the piece of music, and I keep forgetting to talk about the piece of music that I played coming into it. Oh, just very quickly, we really don't have to. You sent me a link to Madam Secretary and B.B. Newworth and Patina Miller singing.
You know, with all that Broadway talent, you were waiting for them to sing at one point.
Well, for God's sakes, let me just tell you. I mean, I love Madam Secretary. Did anybody watch Madam Secretary? Mm-hmm. Nobody? Just me?
No, I watch it.
Okay.
But I didn't actually watch that episode yet.
It took, and me either. Me either. But that's not what this. That's not where I was going. I like that show. Patina Miller, in my opinion, and B.B. Newworth both suck in that show.
Yes. We've had this conversation.
So it was nice to see them sing, although the song that they sang, which is Billy Joel's song,
For the longest time.
Thank you, for the longest time. Was rather pedestrian, I thought, the number.
You know what it was? BB's key was no bueno, and she was awful. And Patina and Homeboy from Jersey Boys, the movie, was great.
Yeah, Patina sounded great.
Patina was rocking.
So it was nice to let them use their talents. So that piece of music that I played at the beginning, which was a song called Nothing Short of Wonderful, is from Dogfight, which will be part of Austin Theater Project season this next season.
Oh, really? Wow.
And one that, it didn't get great reviews when it opened off Broadway, and I wanted to not like it, but this is another one that when it pops up on my thing, I go, I like that song. What is it? Oh, damn, it's Dogfight.
yeah, but the
so it's a Pasek and it's a Pasek and Paul, as we discussed, a fun a duet to say their names. They wrote the music and lyrics. That's it. So we will go away.
Are you
going
to not talk about that last thing? I didn't talk about it because I thought you were going to.
What?
The Hamilton.
No, I don't really care about that. But we're going to go straight to the trivia question because I totally forgot. We're all late. She wasn't prepared.
No, I have a bookmark.
Anybody else have a trivia question?
I didn't know where to go with trivia today.
All right, well, wherever you win is the right place. But we need you to go quickly.
Okay. Oh, well, this is a longer one. Darn.
All right, you know what? We're going to do the trivia question at the local section. No, we're going to do a trivia question during local. So we will be right back. This is a piece of music from Bonnie and Clyde. Frank Wildhorn. We love him.
He's a Texas boy.
Okay, here we go.
I start thinking about my Bonnie. From the
okay. Well, that was a bit of fun. So let's reintroduce our folks from Weird City Theater's production of House on Haunted Hill. I've lost my script. Can I borrow yours?
Would you like to borrow mine?
Please. Anyway, so we have the director here, Jenny Bauer. Hi, Jenny.
Hi.
Mackenzie Cade, who plays Lance.
Hello.
And Kelsey Smith, who's playing Nora.
Hello.
House on Haunted Hill. That sounds like a movie.
It indeed was. From 1959, directed by William Castle and starred Vincent Price.
I've heard of him.
Mm-hmm. So we're going to try and replicate the communal experience of going to horror movies. It's nice that there are so many movies on Netflix that you can watch individually on your own schedule, but the experience of being in a crowd where everyone is screaming is one that we miss, and so we're going to replicate it here. And we're going to use a lot of the gimmicks that William Castle used in this one and several other of his movies.
You're
like
using gimmicks?
Yes, we're going to have a nurse in the lobby selling insurance in case people are frightened to death. And for those people who, you know, can't deal with it, we've got a coward's corner in the corner with a teddy bear and a blankie and pillow.
I was going to make a joke. You got to get a gimmick if you want to get applause.
Yes.
There you go.
You got nice. It, right? It's from Gypsy.
Yeah, we all got it.
Okay, you looked
we
all got it. That was nuts.
No, we all got it. No, I looked at you because I saw your script over there.
Yeah, that is yours.
Okay. I'm going to stop looking for
we're
it
we're just
then.
Pointing at each other.
So it sounds like a lot of fun. And I actually know it's a lot of fun because it's done at Ground Floor Theater. Mm-hmm. The lighting designer. Who is your lighting designer?
That would be one Lisa Sheps. Yes, you may know her.
I've never heard of her.
I have designed the lights. Let me just go on record as saying I am not a lighting designer. But it's gorgeous.
Yeah, you've done it's
but it's gorgeous.
Really
it's
they're
gorgeous.
Lit.
You can see us.
There are lights on our faces.
More
there
or
are
less.
Lights.
Yeah. Mackenzie and Kelsey, sure. Tell us about your roles. What roles do y'all play?
All right, well, I play Nora Manning, and she's kind of the sweet damsel in distress. You know, she just thought she was coming to get $10,000, wasn't really expecting to get terrorized. But she is single-handedly singled out for most of the terror. I scream more times than I can count in this show, so.
She gets ahead in this show.
I've heard the screaming in the rehearsals.
There is screaming.
Yes.
It is quite loud.
You have a wonderful scream.
You do. I said the screaming was really good.
I actually have somehow never lost my voice. Luckily, in school, we did a whole section on screaming correctly.
I was like, you scream properly.
Yeah.
And you really do.
Thank
okay,
God.
Okay, so if you're staying for backstage, just to remind us that we need to talk about that.
Yes.
Oh, and I play Lance Schroeder, who's the all-American guy. I'm a bit skeptical, but I soon learned that things are not what they seem.
He likes to take care of Nora.
Yeah.
Help her out.
Yeah, definitely.
So it's a fun show, and I'll tell a little story that I've never seen House on Haunted Hill. No, nothing. It's not a genre of film I watch, and so I decided to look on my UVerse and just search for House on Haunted Hill. Mm-hmm. And there it came up, and so I DVR'd that day, and I was watching it, and I sent a picture of me watching it to Patty. I said, look what I'm watching. I showed a picture, and she said, what is that? And so evidently, there's a remake.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, no, you watched the remake.
I watched the remake.
Okay, that's hilarious, Patty.
Is it Mekhi Pfeiffer in the remake? And Ali Larder, I think, is,
oh,
yeah.
No.
Well.
And what's his name from Saturday Night Live?
Chris Kattan.
Yeah.
How many times have you seen this? Oh,
Night at the Roxbury. That's all you had to say.
Yeah. Hey, so, Kelsey, do me a favor. Could you give me a number between 2 and 47?
21.
21. Is that's because that's how old you are?
No, that's my birthday is November 21st.
Okay.
Well, I can just drink. I'm so excited. Yeah.
Let's see who you chose.
Hi, I'm Lucy Arnaz, and you're listening to Offstage and On the Air on KOOP Hornsby Austin.
You picked a famous one.
Yeah, we haven't heard Lucy.
We have
in a
not
while.
Heard Lucy Arnaz.
Yes.
So thank you. So House on Haunted Hill. So this is sort of a, is it. Would you call it campy? Was it fun?
Absolutely.
Oh, yeah. I think the first couple of rehearsals, people were kind of playing it, you know, this is a drama. And I think the more that we got to, which it is to, you know, to our characters, this is very real.
Well, of course.
But I think half the fun of it is, you know, oh, no, what's happening? You know, it's all just like, and it's just so ridiculous, the things that just
keep popping. One of the first things we said at the read-through was, we didn't want it to be self-parodying, but we wanted it to be self-aware.
Yeah, we're very aware of...
Okay.
So we were aware of some of the lines that don't make sense or plot holes, and we kind of observe them as we're doing them.
Excellent. So we're going to hear a little scene, aren't we?
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yeah.
So do you want to set that scene up for us?
Yeah. So what happens is we're going on a tour on the house, and we've been led down into the basement.
Story of my life.
Yeah, you know, all good stories start that
way. Naturally, you go to the cellar.
Yeah, so we are then left... So we're down in the basement, some stuff, I'm not going to give it away, things are explained, and everyone starts to leave, and I pull Kelsey, Nora aside, and we have a discussion.
A little talk.
Great, wonderful. So this is Mackenzie Cade and Kelsey Smith doing a scene from a Weird City Theater's production of House on Haunted Hill.
How'd you get invited to the party? No, let them go on. I mean, what did he tell you?
Mr. Lawrence said that everybody here would get $10,000.
But he didn't say anything about being locked in.
No.
He just made the deal with me on the phone, but nothing about having to stay.
Well, aren't you going to stay?
If I don't, I lose $10,000.
Well, I'm going to stay, too. $10,000.
Yeah. You believe in ghosts?
I don't know.
Well, I agree with what the doctor says. You can spook yourself. I've done it in planes, seen things that weren't there. Or were they? What are you going to do with your $10,000 if we get it?
What do you mean, if we get it? Won't he pay us if we stay?
Ah, sure he will. $10,000 to him is no more than a nickel to us.
My parents were in an automobile accident. Now I'm the only one in the family who can make any money.
Boy, I've never seen so many doors. This one's a closet. Some bottles.
Well, does it go anywhere? Lance? Lance!
Dun, and then dun, dun. Scream!
And then spookiness!
Spookiness
some
happens. What fun! Y'all sound like you're having fun with that.
Thank
it's
you.
Great, yeah. I love affecting my voice and
the
kind of 1940s kind of way. Yeah.
we watched a lot of film noir to prepare for it, like Sunset Boulevard and some other horror movies where people were aware of the archetypes.
Arc, there we go with that arch.
I was
again.
Like, ah, there you go.
Arch type, that arch type. So that's great. So one of the things that Weird City Theater does is they sort of call themselves doing theater for non-theater people. Mm-hmm. So they take, a lot of times they take movies in the public domain and rewrite them like this. Is that correct?
Yes. I've been a company member since 2008. We originally did Night of the Living Dead for Halloween. And, yeah, we've done live adaptations of graphic novels. That one was called Giants in Those Days. Steampunk ones, albeit in the Airship Pirates. Most recently, before our hiatus, anthology of Poe stories. So I kind of feel like this has been even my artistic home, and I'm so glad that we've able to work it out that it's come back as a resident company of Ground Floor.
Wonderful. Well, where can folks go to get more information about the show?
We've got a Facebook, Weird City Theater. Mm-hmm. It's correctly spelled. We also have a Twitter, but thanks to its character limitations, the E is cut off at the end. So it's okay. Weird City Theater. also information on this show is on the Ground Floor site, since it's at Ground Floor.
Right. And when do you open?
October 8th.
That seems very close to today.
That is very soon.
Yeah. Tomorrow night, right? Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Are y'all ready?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah.
Let me ask the lighting designer. Are they ready? I think they're ready.
Yeah. What an interview.
It'll be
Lisa.
Exciting to have an audience just to see where people laugh and what, you know, we've had to know.
Yeah.
Yeah, it seems like the kind of thing that might be dependent upon.
Oh, yeah, very much so.
Absolutely, yeah.
Great. So you play through when?
The 24th.
Excellent. Well, I'm so glad to have you all on our show.
Yes. Thank you very much for bringing us on.
Great. And I think you'll enjoy the little song we're going to go out to with this. So here we go. That was Weird City Theater's House on Haunted Hill. That was Jenny Bauer, Mackenzie Cade, and Kelsey Smith. House on Haunted Hill plays this Thursday and Friday and Saturday, October 8th through 24th at the Ground Floor Theater. For more information, you can check their Facebook page as well as groundfloortheater.org. We will be right back.
Haunted German wood.
Haunted German wood. That was fun.
That was exciting.
Okay, so let's just jump right into the trivia question if you're ready. Okay, should we not?
Nope.
We're almost there.
Okay, I chose a candor and a...
How strange for you.
I know, right? I went with Liza Minnelli on top of it.
How also strange for you.
I know,
you.
Right? 1977's The Act saw the duo writing for their favorite performer, Liza Minnelli. But on a show plagued with out-of-town troubles, not the least of which was director Martin Scorsese's lack of familiarity with stage productions. Gower Champion managed to salvage the show in 3 weeks. Liza played Michelle Craig, a washed-up movie star now performing in Vegas. The frisky number on Adultery, Arthur in the Afternoon, was originally written for A Family Affair, a 1962 Candor and James Goldman. But the subject wasn't Arthur. It was A, Sally, B, Tilly, C, Mamie, D, Selma, or E, Jenny.
There you go.
Did you know that show was from another? That song was from another show?
I did not.
There you go.
I did not, but now I do. So we will get the answer to that at the beginning of Backstage at Offstage. So to get the answer to that, you're going to have to like subscribe to the podcast or at least get it once.
That's right.
Did you bring anything in that you want to talk about locally?
I couldn't find my printout on it, so you go right ahead. I don't want to miss today in theater history today.
Well, unfortunately, I can't find it. It's gone. It was a really good one, too.
It was?
Yeah. So I'm gonna look for it. But one thing I do want to point out to folks that the UT Texas Theater Department of Theater and Dance is doing Diary of Anne Frank right now.
That was my printout.
Well, there you go. Here, so, talk about it.
Oh, okay. I have to put my glasses back on, Miss Lisa Sheps. It is running October 8th through the 18th, and they're doing it at the Oscar G. Brockett Theater, and TexasPerformingArts.com has more of the information.
Is it .com or .org? .org, sorry.
They're doing it because of it's the 70th anniversary of the liberation of the Nazi concentration camps. That bananas.
Yeah.
So they're doing it, and they're doing a two-day symposium that goes along with it. Also, the Anne Frank Holocaust Memory and Performance Symposium. And they're doing it with the Schusterman Center for Jewish Studies and Texas Theater and Dance, which I thought was kind
of
cool.
Of course, there's Shep's family folklore that has to do with Miss Anne Frank.
What is that?
Well, for years, I thought that Anne Frank was my aunt. Because, and this is all taken, my grandmother is from that area of the world. And there's a picture of my grandmother and a picture of Anne Frank at the same age, and you can't tell them apart. So when my grandmother left Eastern Europe around the turn of the century, she left a sister back, and they lost complete track. So in theory, this sister could have grown up, met and married Otto Frank and had Anne Frank. Not knowing that we can easily track who, and I forgot what her mother's name was, but... For years, I was pretty convinced.
Did you find out the truth when you and your mom went over on that journey to find the roots?
No, I found out later. But when I was in my first time in Amsterdam, when I went to go visit the Anne Frank house, I still believed it. And so I'm in my aunt's house.
It's kind of cool, Lisa.
So it was pretty cool. And I've been sort of tap dancing here because I really wanted to find Today in Theater History because it was a really good one. But I can't find it. So we're not going to do it. But
I have a birthday.
Go ahead.
One Dale Watson.
Dale Watson.
Hey, he has his Actors Equity card. He is an actor. Yep. So he was in Stephen King and John Mellencamp's musical, The Ghost Brothers of Darkland County.
And we had a whole bunch of local...
And he is a listener.
We had a whole bunch of local people.
There were a whole bunch
Kirkendall,
of
Kirkendall, what's his name? Quincy Kirkendall is one of his birthdays today.
Quincy, my man.
Who else am I missing? There were three local birthdays that I wanted to talk
about. I feel like
about.
There's a lot of local people born in October and November. Who?
Yeah, Michael Barnes.
Michael Barnes.
Yes,
Michael
good.
Barnes. Hats off. That's another.
Good, good, good,
hello,
good.
Michael Barnes. Okay. He's blogging about his birthday wishes right now.
There was some really great Today in Theater History, and I will tell folks that...
I'll try to get it for backstage.
No, we're not going to do it on backstage, but thanks.
Okay.
But people can get it. It is online. It is clickable, and it's there. And there's some really... I go through and I curate the piece, and I decide what we're going to talk about.
And every once in a blue moon, I print the page, and I almost did today, and I was like, "Ah, Lisa always has it. Why there am I was doing a that?"
And it's here somewhere. I just can't seem to find it. And it's interesting that we chose the same local thing. Anybody else want to point out any other? Is there anything other going on in the Vortex other than the
Salvador
that you want to just like do a quick shout out to?
Next week, there's a 1448 play festival. And they make 14 original plays in 48 hours.
Yeah. That's
cool. It's kind of insane.
Am I
how
in
many
it?
People or do you know how many people participate
oh,
in that?
A whole lot.
Am I in it?
The theme is Lisa
Sheps.
Do you Sheps.
Want to be?
Of course, I always want to be in everything.
Oh, well, then just talk to me.
Yeah, I probably have no time. I'm stretched a little thin right now. I saw that, and that sounds fascinating
very
and
cool.
Wonderful. Any other shout-outs before we go on? I will say this is just a little log rolling. There's an open call audition at Ground Floor Theater on Sunday at 1 p.m. Look at the Facebook page for Ground Floor Theater. And we have a open call for Parade for some of the leads have been cast, but we're casting some of the smaller roles.
And the Real Thing, Tom Stoppard's The Real Thing,
yes,
is playing at Austin's Playhouse.
Austin
I love
Playhouse.
The Tom Stoppard. I believe that's through the 11th of October.
Yeah, we call him TS.
TS.
Yeah, yeah, it's true. All right, so we're going to take another little break, and we're going to come back, and we're going to learn all about Salvador Dali's Naked Feast, which I don't know about you, but sounds tantalizing to me. Let's see. Oh, so one of the things that happened, and I don't know exactly what it is, but one of the things that opened in around, I want to say it was like around the turn of the century, around 1918, 1920 something, was a play or a show called A Touch of Venus. And there was all sorts of wonderful things about it that I wanted to talk about. Can't, because I can't remember. But here's a piece of music from it.
More than a catbird hates a cat.
We are back. You are fortunate enough to be listening to Offstage and On the Air with Nicole Shiro and Lisa Sheps. We've been talking to Weird City Theaters company members, Jenny Bauer, Mackenzie Cade, and Kelsey Smith. And now we're going to turn to a different direction and talk to the folks at Vortex Rep about their gala event, Salvador Dali's Naked Feast. And from that group, we have, of course, Bonnie Cullen.
Hi. We are so excited about this particular feast. And we did. We have had a relationship with Dali for many years now. He's been a fan of our theater for as long as we've been going. And last spring, we were able to lure him to Austin to create a Naked Feast, which we did inside the theater. And we transformed the inside of the theater, and we had a fantastic three-night event.
And he oversaw the whole thing.
Exactly.
That's just incredible.
Our guest star. But we were packed. We were overflowing. We were so crowded. There wasn't enough room to really let the art spread out the way that we had really wanted it to. Mm-hmm. So we were just talking about how great it was, and we thought, well, what if we did it for our annual fundraiser and just took over the whole Vortex compound? So it's going to be
for
the whole night.
So
Patrizzi's and the bar are in total service to Dali's Naked Feast that night. There will be no regular service. It's like it's all going to be feast. So everything that Patrizzi's and the Butterfly Bar and the Vortex are doing in the Vortex compound, it will be the whole experience. So in the yard, in the bar, in the theater, in the hidden nooks and crannies of the space, you will find various kinds of performances. I want to particularly highlight those naked platters, which will be live platters that have artfully arranged food on them.
And I want to tell folks that if you listen to Bonnie and she talks about these naked platters and you're thinking, that can't be really what she means.
Yes, I
suggest you go onto their website and see the promo video for it, and you will see exactly what we're talking about.
Listen, Bonnie doesn't mince her words. She explains
these
it.
These are indeed naked body platters.
Why is everybody so, excuse, I'm not used to this. Why are we so afraid of the body? It is nothing, but it is beauty. And I put it in my art, and we eat on it, we sleep with it. It is our body. So it is why I am here, to support Miss Colum. She is my friend. I met her in Europe, and she told me about this little place here in Austin. Yes, it is called the Vortex, and she wanted to do my art there. And I said, well, what would we do? And she mentioned this naked feast. And I said, yes, naked feast. We will have some food, we will have some art, and we will show the people of Austin what it is like to be an artist, as close as you can be to Dali, because, you know, everybody wishes to be Dali, yes, but there is only one.
There is only one, Mr. Dali, and I have to say that I'm honored to have you here.
Yes, thank you.
It's incredible. Can I call you Salvador?
Yes, or? Okay. Whatever you wish. Yes,
whatever I want.
So Mona Lisa, yes.
Sal is okay. Oh.
Yes, I forget. I hear a birthday song also for you.
No.
Yes.
I do not. We sing earlier for you. It is your birthday.
It was my birthday, yes. I like to say it's next year. Thank you. Gracias. So you're clearly quite passionate about that.
And passion comes from within. Yeah, you have passion as well.
Yeah,
see
but you
it.
Also
it
see
is quite, you too talking. It is quite confusing to especially when English is not your first.
Not your first.
We
attention.
Should have done naked broadcasting today. Yeah.
Well, if you yes. wish, I might paint you.
Well,
if
I don't
wish.
Know about you, but I have been naked this whole time.
Quite a beauty, I must say.
Oh, go on. No, I mean it. Go on.
Oh, yes. Well, if you wish, I will describe to everybody. I will put it in art, and then we will come see it at the Vortex.
So I was not. This is the second time that you're doing this. You were also, and you also did it last time, right?
It was in the spring, I believe. Yes. No.
April.
Yes. It was quite fascinating because it was quite intimate and surreal, if the word is, well, of course, it is Dali, so it must be surreal. So the work was quite fascinating, and it was quite intimate, but I expressed to my friend, Miss Colomboni, that it must be bigger. Dali is always bigger. We must do something more. I mean, what can we do? And she mentioned that she would like to do a fundraiser for the Vortex, and anything I can do to support the Vortex, I will be there. And this is what we are going to do. We are going to make it bigger, grander, and more than you can imagine.
That is great. And I think you're recreating some of your pieces of art for this, aren't you?
Yes. My art will be there. There will be new pieces. There will be music. There will be singing and tango and eating and feasting and nakedness, of course.
Of course. So can the audience come naked?
Yes, if you wish. If you are comfortable, come as you are. Come
always comfortable. How were you involved in last year's, Melissa?
Absolutely, I was.
So which one of you, Bonnie or Melissa, knew what was your connection to Salvador Dali? I mean, do y'all know him? Did you hang out with him in Spain?
Well, he and I met in Europe many years ago, back in the 80s when I can't remember anything.
I was about to say, those foggy years. I remember those.
You woke up
times.
And your clock was melting off the wall.
Indeed. It's true.
Go ahead.
Oh, yes. So my role in the Naked Feast is to...
Is it a role? Is it a dinner role?
It's get it. It's a body role, actually. I am the muse of Salvador Dali.
Ah.
And the audience gets to observe me in a special distortion chamber where they get to peek through different areas and they can view me in different ways and interact with me through things that come down from the ceiling that they lower to me. And also this time it will be even bigger and better. I have attendance.
Oh wow.
Ooh, ooh.
Well, and I will also tell people that they can get a feel of what that is sort of like, at least from last year's, because that's also in the
I like the word distortion video. Chamber.
Oh, distortion chamber.
Two words, but I like the phrase distortion chamber.
And this year people can ask me questions and they will get a reading from the muse, and my attendants will interpret what I say.
Lovely.
So
how many people are part of this entire... I mean, you're taking over the whole complex.
Right. There's about 50 performers and 20 technicians and tech and designers, and then the bar staff and some Patrizzi staff as well. So I don't know, maybe 80.
That's a lot.
80. Yes. Well, yes. Dali is number one.
So Dali counts at least as 10.
You would actually take the technical aspects totally out into the whole complex and places you're not used to taking your technical aspects.
Right. It will be everywhere. It will be everywhere, and there will, you know. One of the highlight experiences would be the VIP table. If people choose to come as a VIP, they can sit with Dali for an hour at his table at the beginning of the event, and they'll get special food, they'll get special entertainment, they'll get a couple of free drinks, and they'll get this fabulous calendar. But
fabulous calendar.
Yeah, Melissa made this exclusive calendar that has all the gorgeous pictures that
Eric, I in it?
I think you are. Right? Eric Peterson took all these gorgeous pictures for us at the Naked Feast in April, and Melissa turned it into this stunning calendar, which is a perk for VIPs as well. But mainly they get that interactive one-on-one with
Dali. See, if you wish to come and sit with me and bring your discussions with you. I will talk with you. I will share some of my ideas and views. Yes.
So if I were to come in and get one of those, fortunate enough to be seated at the table with you, Mr. Dali, can I ask you questions like, how did you come up with, what were you thinking when you painted the blah, blah, blah?
There are many different reasons of how my art came about, but yes, I can try to recall, because, you know, my memory is not what it used to be, but I can tell you what I was feeling, because that is normally what it comes from inside, and of course from God. God creates my hand so that I may give you your art. And I will talk to you about it. We talk art, politics, whatever, religion, your city, your life.
Politics and religion's okay.
No. Religion is important. God is the reason that I create my art. He is the one who has given me my passion.
I feel like you're angry with me.
No. This is passion. It's passion. That is what you do not get. You Americans think that whenever we talk, that it is anger, but it's just passion. Jeez. Yes,
oh,
yes.
Okay, got it. Yes, thank you for clarifying.
I get persecuted too. I'm Italian and Irish, and we talk with our
whole body.
But a lot of his friends are coming in from around the world. We have international crowd.
And Tony and Krista and who else?
I hear that Lorca is coming.
Yes, my beloved Lorca. And of course my wife Carla would be there. Yes.
And there is some art critics coming.
And my pets will be there. Yes, many pets.
Oh,
many pets.
The anteater will be there.
It is, and you could see the anteater in that performance as well.
That's awesome.
On the video. So when you look at that video, that you really get a sense of the immersion that folks will feel. And it seems very, very inviting and looks like a lot of fun. Where can folks go to? Oh, let's tell people when it is. That would be
important thing. It's only one night. Right. So that's Saturday, the 24th of October. One night only. And if you go to vortexrep.org up at the top, you can find more information about it.
And does it start like at 8 o'clock and go into the wee hours?
It's 7 to 11. The gates open at 7. I recommend that people come at 7 so that they can watch the platters being laid, which will be a fun kind of experience to watch the food.
We knew what you meant.
I know. I just had to say it. I'm sorry.
It was like one of my
nights
with the homeboy.
I know.
Also come and drink my cocktail that I created. It's called the Casanova. It's quite
excellent. Well, thank you guys for coming. I hope you can stay for backstage. Yes,
thank you.
Grazie. And it sounds like all sorts of fun.
Yes.
Hopefully I will be there. That was Bonnie Cullum, Melissa Vogt, and special guest star Salvador Dali. They were here to talk about Salvador Dali's Naked Feast at the Vortex on the October 24th from 7 to 11 at the Vortex Theater Compound. For more information, vortexrep.org. We will be right back.
Is this real? What a sight.
Oh my God, what a fun show.
Very fun show today.
It's going to be really great if everybody sticks around for the backstage
area. I hope so.
It'll be so much fun.
I know they're waiting on bated breath for the trivia answer. So.
they are.
Hello.
And other things. So,
like time with Lisa and Nicole.
Yeah. One of the ways they can get time with Lisa and Nicole is to like us on Facebook.
Oh, yes.
They can tweet us on Twitter.
Tweet, 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 tweet.
Tweet, 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 tweet. They can stitch us on Stitcher. Stitcher Radio. Do you not know about that?
I do not.
Stitcher is a radio app. It's like iHeartRadio and all those things. You put it on your little smartphone and you could get us right.
And we're there too.
Okay.
We're there
yes.
too.
Sign me up.
Yeah, you consider yourself signed up. But what's another way they can sign up?
Personally, I find this the best way and the most exciting way. Lisa and Nicole, we can be delivered in your mailbox. We arrive.
Right there.
Offstageonair.com. Yeah.
So if you were listening to us on the broadcast, you're going to stand by for Austin Monitor News, followed by Mark Rashak and another bottle down. He's here with a whole group of people.
Like,
that
he's got a slew of people.
And there's
today.
A whole bunch of wine in here, so they're going to be very, very talkative. If you are listening on the podcast, and you should be, stick around. We're going to go backstage and talk to our guests. Otherwise, Nicole and I will be back next week when we look at what's happening off stage and on the air. And this is, I'm going to play a piece from, actually it's from This American Life. And it was Lin-Manuel Miranda who wrote a musical about a story they did about 3 years ago about undercover cops in an inner city school. And this song is called What the Heck I Gotta Do? And it is so much fun.
It's a parody of 21.
We will see you next week.
She was a light-skinned, Puerto Rican, Dominican, long hair, maturing a body like, whoa.
Like, whoa.
That's not the only reason I liked her, though. She said she moved with a
mother. Well, the curtain has finally come down on Broadway history, the musical. The lost musical that was written by Frank Wildhorn, Steven Soderbergh, Stephen Sondheim, and Rodgers and Hart. And we are backstage, and coming with us here backstage is Bonnie Cullum. Oh, you got it.
We're sharing.
Sorry, you're sharing. Yes. Hi, Bonnie.
Hi.
Gabriel Maldonado.
Hello.
Who I will just give away right here was our Salvador Dali.
Hello.
So we will learn about the actual. We actually get to appreciate the actor behind the because Dali is who's. Dead.
Okay, see, and when you were when she was saying last year Salvador Dali was there, I was like, oh my God, was he really there? Was he really there?
How did this happen?
Yeah. There's like just some magical stuff going on at the vortex.
I believed it.
I hope there are a lot of people out there.
I'm sure there are plenty. Right.
Yeah.
So Mackenzie Cade.
Hello.
Hello, and Kelsey Smith.
Hello.
Well, welcome to backstage. You know, Bonnie, I don't think you've ever been backstage before, have you?
I have.
You have. Okay. Oh, that's right. You and Chad.
And you're accusing me of my memory.
Oh, my memory's the worst.
She sat right over there.
My memory's the worst. I know. And Chad was here as well.
I've done it twice.
It's possible.
I'm pretty bad. Now that you say that. Yeah. I think you may be correct.
Kelsey, I just want to start with you because Oh, darn it. The quiz. I'm not going to start with you. Never mind. We're going to get the answer to the trivia question.
It's even more awkward when we remember halfway through the segment. So, so we were talking about the 77 show, The Act by Kander and Ebb, mm-hmm. with starring Liza Minnelli, that Martin Scorsese.
The Act, by the way, in 1977 was
Go ahead.
We were screaming with we were protesting the high ticket prices. It was the highest ticket price on Broadway at that time.
$38, right?
She says 38. Any other guesses?
I'm gonna say 50.
50.
I'm gonna say 38.41.
This is a bonus trivia bomb. Question. 50. Anybody else? Highest ticket price on Broadway. People were bitching about. Okay,
$20. Oh, it's $20.
Wow. Yep.
I overshot it.
$20.
They definitely wouldn't be able to see Hamilton or Hedwig. Poor Scorsese. It wasn't a good moment in his career either. So there was a frisky number on Adultery in it called Arthur in the Afternoon. It was originally written for the musical A Family Affair, 1962 musical Kander did with James Goldman, but the subject wasn't Arthur. It was A, Sally, B, Tilly, C, Mamie, D, Selma, or E, Jenny.
Anybody have any guesses?
What's your guess there?
Oh, I have no idea.
We got five.
Selma.
A, B,
Gabriel?
Selma.
I'm out.
You're
Sally,
out.
Tilly, Mamie, Selma, Jenny.
Mackenzie, you'll guess something.
I, my gut is telling me Tilly.
Yeah, okay you're wrong.
Go ahead.
No, I
mean, this would just be a total. Let's go with Jenny. I like that name. Yeah.
Okay. And I'm going to say Sally.
You're going to say
Good,
Sally?
We all guess something different.
Mwah! It was C.
Well, I don't know what C is.
Mamie.
Oh, that was going to be my second guess, actually.
Oh, darn.
Well,
was
it? That's what Gabriel guessed. He just didn't say it.
I couldn't hear.
All the other girls' names that I just read were actually characters in A Family Affair.
It's A Family Affair.
That's where I was going.
And
with
I
it.
Think
it's
I know everything.
I went to the TV show with Buffy and Jodie.
I didn't even have a reference point on that one.
Okay.
We're just having our own conversation.
I know. So I'm going to ask you to just stop. Not Mackenzie, Kelsey. Tell me, we were going to talk about something. Remember I said we're going to talk about that backstage.
And you were talking about voice work and screaming.
And her screaming properly.
Yes, and you did screaming classes or something like that.
Well, I mean, not like really. I got my BFA in acting at SMU, Southern Methodist University.
I call it SMU.
Can I quickly ask you a question?
Totally.
Did you eat Bubba's Fried Chicken when you were at SMU?
Of course I did, until I found out that I had celiac. So that ended.
Darn, isn't that? I drive Lisa crazy. Yeah. She's like, but I'm like, it's everything. No, and the seasoned salted jacks.
But it's very good. Yeah. One of our voice teachers, Ann Schilling, there, we did a whole section on just like screaming properly, you know, and such. So that is coming to
hand. What would you tell us? Okay, I got to scream in a show.
Kelsey, like
what do
singing.
I do?
I mean, it's like what you would do if you were going to sing. You just, it's from the diaphragm and you support it. I mean, I honestly had never put it into practice, nor have I had to scream this much into a show before. So, and it worked.
There
Thank
you go.
You.
Do you think they get a lot of calls on campus at the dorms for people practicing screaming?
Oh, I mean, I got the cops called on me once.
Did you really?
Practicing. Oh, yeah, we were rehearsing outside by the fountain. There was this fountain there, and me and my scene partner, it was kind of an abusive marriage type thing, and he grabbed me and was like, choking me sort of. And we were just practicing by the fountain because it's by the theater, and that's what everyone does. And all of a sudden, this policeman came like bolting at us and was like, "You need to get away from her." And I guess someone had called the cops.
Nice.
I mean, I was like, well, I guess that's
at least you're safe.
Good
on
acting.
Campus.
Yeah.
Good
I was like, well, at least they believed it.
Campus.
But,
there you go.
So you went to SMU, which is in Dallas, Texas.
Yes, it is.
Not the other one. Mm-hmm. Are you from Dallas?
I am not. I'm from Austin, actually.
Texas?
I am.
Okay.
Legitimately from Austin.
Yeah, because there's an Austin, Massachusetts as well.
Is there?
Yeah.
Well, not from there.
So, okay. So you are, what high school did you go to?
I went to Anderson High School.
Anderson. Did you participate in theater at Anderson?
Oh, yes, I did.
Okay.
Yeah.
And that was prior to the Greater. I don't know. Was the Greater Austin High School Musical Theater Awards around? How?
No. Okay. I just heard about that recently, though.
Yeah.
No,
What did you do at Anderson?
Oh gosh.
Your favorite role?
What was my favorite role?
Did you do musicals as well?
I did.
Right?
I did. My senior year, we did Footloose, and I was Ariel.
Footloose.
Yeah, that musical. Yeah. We also did. We did a lot of family dramas. That was a big thing. Diviners, and we did Look Homeward, Angel.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, played a lot of the sister roles there.
Lovely. And did you do theater? What was it? High school that brought you into theater, or
no,
was it?
No, I actually started with kids acting here in town.
Dee Dee Clark.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Sixth grade, I started. I was kind of shy, and my mom got me into it, and. I don't know. It bust me out pretty good.
I was like, you obviously came out of here.
Yeah, I did. I did.
Well, that is good for now. Does Dee Dee come and see you play now?
I don't think Dee Dee probably remembers me, honestly. Hi, Dee Dee Clark.
You'd be surprised. I think teachers remember the kids you teach. I don't know. Then again, I can't remember from the 80s, so I maybe saying that. Let me take that back.
Yeah, I don't remember anything from anything.
So.
Yeah, I'm sure she remembers you. She mentioned you yesterday when we were talking.
Gosh, I knew. Always in love with me.
So you graduated from SMU, came back home.
I actually moved out to LA at first.
Is that Los Angeles or a different one?
Yes, Los Angeles. I hated it. I kind of went because my professors were pushing me to do more film, and I love film. Uh-huh. Don't get me wrong, but there is no theater in LA. None.
Actually, that's not that. Well, the theater I've seen there, I've seen quite a bit of theater there when I mean relative to someone that doesn't live there. They've got some really good theater there.
They have, it's hard to get in.
It's hard to get in.
You have to be a company member there. Yep. And to do that, you have to just grovel sort of. And I realized pretty quickly I didn't love LA.
It takes a certain person that likes that.
Yeah, it does. And actually all my friends who moved out there with me moved back within a year. So I'm really happy here. I'm getting to do a lot of film and do a lot of theater, and it's kind of the best of all worlds to me.
Best of both worlds.
Yeah, I think so. I think so. And honestly, theater has blown up since I was younger here. I mean, I remember there weren't, and granted, I wasn't fully involved, but I remember not there being that many theaters. I mean, now there's like double
the Vortex has been here for how long? 30 years?
The Vortex. I remember the Vortex. And then I remember a couple, but like a lot of these smaller like theater companies, I have no recollection of. You know, I remember Zach and Vortex and Austin Shakespeare, but there were very few that I. Mm. Anyways.
I think the Vortex has been around longer than she's been alive.
Well, I am 21.
Yeah, exactly. She is only 21.
Touché. I was like, didn't we find out she's turning 21 on November 21st? So
that was my golden 21. Birthday. 21 on the 21st.
What does that mean, a golden birthday?
Girl, it's when you turn the age on that day. So 21 on the 21st, oh. Yeah.
I guess
I missed that one a few decades ago then, yeah. Apparently.
I was I was 2 on October 2nd.
Oh, see, yeah, that's a bummer. You never really got
I remember it. I got to drink my first Manischewitz at that point. It was Passover. it was great. Mazel tov, my parents said. Here, you have a drink. You're 2.
I said, Mazel tov. Here's your Manischewitz. Yeah. Have a
Here's
body.
Your Manischewitz. And,
in a bottle.
Like a little sucker.
Yeah, a little nipple. Well, you know, those of us of a certain age, our parents were told to drink and smoke when they were pregnant because it relaxed them.
I
and
came
so
out fine.
I'm sure I had many martinis.
That's your middle name, isn't it?
It is. It was my sorority name in college.
I think I'm made up of margaritas.
Maybe. Mm-hmm. Gabrielle.
I was like,
blow.
Pull that. Anything goes out. Especially
the yeah. It's a good song. Yeah.
So tell us about you. We didn't get a chance to meet you as a person. We met you as a character.
What would you like to know?
Everything. No. So have you always done theater? Yes.
I've been in theater. Well, ever since I was a kid, I've always liked acting, and that's when I got the bug.
And are you over 21?
I'm a few years over 21. We won't have to discuss it much.
Okay, we'll just leave it at that.
Yeah, I am older. Young at heart still. I went to college at, this will probably tell you my age, it was SWTSU when I went, so now it's TSU.
Yep. Right.
So I went there and graduated and moved to Austin and did a couple of small theaters, but one of the first small auditions I did was at the Vortex with Bonnie. And
is that Bonnie Cullum or a different one?
Miss Bonnie Cullum, yeah. Here, yes. She was the one who gave me my footing here in Austin, so I'm very grateful for her.
Lovely.
And I've been with the theater 18 years now.
I was like, you've been with the theater a long time.
Yeah, I've been with them for a long time, and I'm very fortunate. Allows me to work my acting bug whenever I feel it, and I'm part of the company, so I get to...
Excellent.
Throw in some of my ideas out there, and Dolly was one of my ideas. Not the whole Feast creation, but I did want to do a Dolly project for a long time that I've been working on, and it's
why
still
is that? What's your interest in Dolly?
I've always liked his artwork, and I always thought it was great, and I was just looking for a part that I could play for myself. I've been very fortunate to do a lot of parts, but I was trying to look for something that spoke to me and that I could kind of carry off as a leading actor or whatever. And he interests me in his work, and it just seemed like it was a perfect fit for the Vortex because of his art and his just everything, his comfortableness with the body and doing things surreal and different. And I just started putting pieces together, and actually it's still growing. The things that we're doing now for the Feast that we've already done, were ideas of creating the Dolly stuff. And eventually, we'll still keep it growing, and it may hopefully eventually be like a sit-down show where we're just like testing the waters with a bunch of ideas of what's working.
Wonderful. Very, very quickly, because we're not here to talk about the show. But we don't have the same rules here. So, Bonnie, do you want to tell folks how much, you know, what kind of ticket prices and things like that? Do you want to throw any of that out at this point?
The best value thing is the VIP ticket at $100, which, as I said, it gets you all these extra perks.
People that could buy like 5 of those.
You could sit at Dolly's table with his friends. You get special food, special appetizers from Patrizzi's. You get your own little entertainment thing.
Patrizzi's, by the way, for folks that don't know it, is the food cart that is in permanent residence.
Fabulous, yeah. Italian food.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
And then a couple of Casanova cocktails, which are the signature cocktail that Dolly himself actually created. Oh. And we have recreated his recipe, and man, it is a fantastic drink, and it kind of like kicks your butt.
Where does one find that recipe?
Yeah, is it a vodka based or a rum based?
It's brandy and cognac and
that sounds
cayenne pepper.
Yummy.
And orange juice.
Mm-hmm. Yummy.
It's intense.
We love that. We can't wait to try it. Yeah. So, Gabriel, where did you grow up?
I am from Odessa, Texas, Texas.
Odessa.
Yeah.
I didn't know that about you.
Yeah, I was there forever until I knew I wanted to do theater, and there's like one, maybe there's two. And so I eventually went to college and moved. My family's still there. I still go home when I can, but there's more opportunity for me to do it.
A friend of mine wrote a short film with starred Jason Schwartzman and Red Buttons called Odessa or Bust. And it was a future dystopian future where Odessa was Los Angeles. It was Hollywood. It's where everybody wanted to go to Odessa. Did you want to do theater in Odessa and couldn't, or did you?
It's just the way the progression worked. Like after I graduated high school, when I started looking at colleges, I was geared towards Southwest because I had other students. My teachers had other students that went there, which was the best experience I ever had. Was going to Southwest. They had a great theater department. Still do.
And, yeah,
it's a really excellent theater department, and I got a lot of firsthand work and got to do a lot of great shows there. And afterwards, when I ventured to Austin and started doing theater here, I did want to gravitate towards film because I wanted money. You know, film, there's lots of money. But as the artist in me, I think is stronger than the vanity of money.
Yeah.
And so that's why I love doing theater. There's nothing like doing live theater when you're doing it. And I kept doing it. I moved to New York for like a year and a half and lived there with some friends. Everybody asked me if I did acting, but I didn't. I did stuff with friends, but I basically learned to live in New York,
right.
Which that takes about that long to realize whether you like it or not. And I loved it. Moved back to Austin. I came back for a hiatus, and I was going to go back, and then 9/11 happened, and my mom was like, you have to go back. And I was like, well, not yet. And then Bonnie was back with me again, and I just kept going on and doing theater with Bonnie. So,
were working at the Vortex before you went to New York, yeah. And then you came back. Well, that's great. Yeah.
She always remembered me, and she always would call me. And she has a great connection to my brain. Whenever I really needed something, she would call me out of the blue, like, "Hey, I have this part. I think it's great for you, and it's perfect." It was always what I needed.
I don't know if you know it or not, but Bonnie is quite the empathetic person.
she is.
You are.
The pause before the laugh was awesome.
Why that sardonic laugh?
Because it's the joke, I think. I can't actually carry on a conversation with anybody without bursting into tears.
But that's a good thing, right? Have you always been...
Especially, like, if you were telling me your problems right now and they were, like really heart-wrenching, I would just start weeping with you. So, yeah, I'm a total empath. Yeah.
I was like, you're empath, yeah.
Has that, did that... I'm sorry.
I was just saying...
When you were younger, was that just a part of everything? Were you that way when you were younger? Or is it something that you learned as you matured?
No, it is how I've always been. I fear I have not... I've tried to use it as an asset.
Well, of course. It is an asset. Mm-hmm. Do you feel that it hasn't been at times? And you can swing that microphone over to you because I'm talking to you now.
Well, I think that it creates a feeling of vulnerability that sometimes I would prefer not to have.
And that therein lies the difficulty of being a leader, mm-hmm. because vulnerability is important to mm-hmm. be a leader, but also you have to maintain distance at the same time.
Yeah, I've cultivated a number of different shields that I can put on, and I can usually make it through any given situation, no matter how challenging it is. But it still gets to me.
It's the heavy heart and the feeling of that.
And so, you know, I have to be very careful not to take on other people's pain, particularly. But I love people, and I love, you know, I love the work that I do, and I love the opportunities that I have to create with artists. And artists bring so many unusual things to the table. With their life experience, with the things that they think, and they'll say something, and then I'll say something, and they'll say something, and pretty soon we have something that we would have never had if we hadn't had that interaction and that conversation. Right.
Well, and you've created an environment that is collaborative and allows for freer expression than many places do.
Yeah, I mean, that's true. And you know, I guess Gabriel probably mentioned this Dalí project to me, like, I don't know, 5 or 7 years ago, we started talking about Dalí, and it just stayed on my short list. I didn't have time to deal with it. I was doing all these Elements things, and we were doing all this other work.
I was about to say, right. Were you busy with the Elements?
Yeah, and Gabriel was in all of the Elements. He's the only one who was in all five. He was in all five pieces, so he was the only one who was in all five pieces. So needless to say, we were kind of busy. But yeah, we were cooking on it, and then, you know, had some salons on it, and that's such a great, you know, it'd be like if we were all sitting around having wine and cheese right now and talking for a couple of hours about a given topic. In this case, it was Dali, but everybody, and we had the art books there when everybody's kind of bringing their perspectives and brainstorming about, you know, what we might think of, what are the important things. And that's kind of my favorite. Like, we didn't have to make any decisions.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Right. You know, we just, it's a fruitful, everybody can put their stuff on the table, and then later we can distill some things out of that and make decisions. So, you know, that kind of, when we're under pressure, like now, like putting on this largest thing I've ever tried to do kind of thing. I mean, it's up there with when we took Chad's X and Y trilogy to the Paramount in 99. Right. Mm-hmm. That was actually the hardest thing I ever did. But this is
an event. This is a theater. And there's so much more. You as a theater person, you're like, oh, okay, I know. And then when you get into the event aspect of the theatrical aspect, it's...
She just sent us an email about the lineup of that. And I'm just so enamored. And that's one of Kapani's talents. She's so visionary and so great about artistic wise, but she knows how to put things down on paper, right, which is so important. And it's so I'm like, how the hell did she come up with all this? And it's just like, and it's still growing. And I'm just so grateful for her to be the one to do all that. And I don't have to.
So Bonnie, if there's a young person, a lot of the difficulty in the arts and creating new art and also nurturing one's own leadership potential in the arts. If there's somebody out there that's listening and they're going, God, I've got this idea. It's really just a little glowing thing inside right now, and I want to explore it. Well, how do you tell that person to start?
They have an idea. I mean, that's a hard place to start. I think you have to determine like what you want to achieve with your idea. I think if you can figure out your intention, mm-hmm, and what you really want, that is a better way to activate your will. Because idea is very lofty.
I like that answer.
Idea is very lofty. A lot of people have ideas. People give me ideas daily. They got a lot of ideas.
Right.
But they don't have this will and intention to actually achieve them. They can't actually even verbally put it into action, what it would look like. So, you know, if somebody wanted to do a certain kind of performance, they might identify what kinds of things in that performance are appealing to me. Why do I like that kind of performance, and why would I do it, and what do I want to get out of that?
Right.
And then maybe they would find a way to engage their will enough to take the next steps. You know, and Lisa, I tell you, if anybody's thinking about like opening a theater or anything, just don't do it. Because it's just really hard. And
she
it's
really
not,
listened to you. Huh? I know.
I'm like, Lisa, what are you doing? And then she did it again.
Yeah. But misery does love company.
But the second time I told you that you should do it. But the first time I was like, don't do it.
Yeah. But I, you know, I always come to you after the fact, too.
Right. Right. I'm doing it. I'm like,
yeah.
Oh, okay. Yeah. All right. Smart. Let's do this thing. But I think, you know, I think the time now, as opposed to when you first tried, was this is a better time for to have that theater space, and people really need it, and they're going to need it more.
They are. Mm. Yeah. That's true. That's true. So, well, thank you. Those are really, really great words.
Yeah, I really like that answer.
Yeah.
Mm. Oh, good.
I love having you on.
Thank you.
We do. All right, Mackenzie, where are you from?
I am from the big city of San Angelo, Texas.
San Angelo, which is what used to be in KUT's call sign when I first moved here.
Okay.
It was San Angelo, Austin.
You're right. Oh, and wow. It was.
Because when I first moved here, I went, okay, so that must be like a suburb of Austin.
Oh.
And one day I started driving towards San Angelo, and I never got there.
And you saw the light and decided to never try to return again.
So you grew up in San Angelo.
Well, so I was born in San Angelo. My dad was in the military. We moved around. I'm from a lot of places.
You're a brat.
Yeah. So you left the state and lived. Were you in other countries too, or always in the states?
We lived in Hawaii for a while, but never lived in other countries.
Hawaii.
Yeah. So we moved back to Texas when I was 10. And then I graduated from Coppers Cove High School, which is just little miles north up there. Yep. I went to Ole Miss.
Did you do theater in Copper's Cove?
I did. Yeah.
Yeah.
I did. I did.
Well, you're also a musical performer.
I am a musical.
And did
theater.
They do? I cannot imagine Copper's Cove doing a musical.
So
why not?
The first attempt we did at a musical was when we did
our first attempt.
We did a one act play, and we did Into the Woods for one act play competition.
Oh no! Your first attempt was Sondheim.
Yes.
Interesting.
Yeah. At a one act play festival. So, needless to say, we didn't get very far.
Was it UIL?
It was UIL.
How do you do
one act in?
And then the next year we did Les Mis for our UIL one act competition. So, the first real musical I was in was the senior class. We adapted Nightmare Before Christmas for the stage.
Oh my God.
Oh, that's kind of fun.
And I was Oogie Boogie. Yeah, so I graduated from there. I went to a community college in North Texas, Grayson County College. And then from there, I went to Ole Miss and got my BFA in musical theater.
Old Miss is in Mississippi.
It is. Okay. Oxford, Mississippi,
I say,
y'all.
Oxford. I had my friend from high school went to school there.
Wow. And so at what point did you find your way here to Austin? I guess Copper's Cove almost is Austin.
It's almost Austin. Well, so for the past 4 years prior to moving back here, I was living in Dublin, Ireland.
It's not a bad place.
It's not a bad place at all, no. Lucky for me, I found my niche as an American actor and sought out American shows because I had I had multiple casting directors tell me there, you know, no matter how good your accent is, and I never did it for them because it's not good. He said, no matter how good your accent is, the dialect is so distinct and so different wherever you go that they will be able to pick you apart in an instant.
I don't think that's very fair, especially so when you look at current television and movies and all these British people playing Americans.
There's a lot of Irish too.
I would never know it in most of those cases.
Yeah.
So wow. I'm mad at them for you.
Yeah. Thank you. Thank you.
Me too.
And I would tell them to their little Irish faces.
Yeah. So I was living there and I moved back just a year ago and moved here.
Well, very good. Why did you go to Ireland specifically to do theater there?
No, I didn't. I met my now husband my senior year of college in Ole Miss, uh-huh. and he is Irish, and I moved over there to be with him.
To be with him. Oh, mazel tov.
Thank you.
And so I'm hoping the two of you then move back?
Yeah, he's here. He's a musician, and he's also a journalist.
Okay, so does he have this sexy Irish accent?
He does, yeah. Oh, okay.
He's like, hello. Why I moved to Ireland.
Yeah.
Excellent.
Dublin sounds all right.
Dublin the flavor, Dublin the fun.
Yeah.
Okay. Wow.
I'm half Irish. My people are good people.
How long?
But yeah,
how
they're
long
a little
there?
Like that with the
4 years.
4 years. Wow. Wow. I'm sort of jealous. I've not anybody other than Mackenzie spent any like substantial length of time overseas. Where'd you live?
I lived on a boat in the south of France one summer.
Lovely.
Okay.
And then I studied in London and Paris. I studied mime with Marcel Marceau in Paris.
Oh, I love Marcel Marceau.
Yes, and went to school in about 5 weeks in London before that.
Lovely. Bonnie?
I lived 9 months in Europe. I was 3 months in London and then 6 months on traveling on trains and hitchhiking with my boyfriend.
Was that back in, this like right after college or before college or during college?
This was my junior year of college. So.
Yeah, I never did any of that.
I was there for a summer in London, but that's all.
Yeah, and I did. I lived in the Bahamas for a while, but I've never done like
you know what, though?
Multiple
it's
years
in
one place. Yeah. And I think I think 6 months or 8 months or something like that, you're still sort of a tourist. Yeah. In many cases, and it takes a while to get
acclimated. Everybody says now that Dublin and Austin are sister cities because Dublin is so tech heavy now. The European headquarters for Facebook, Twitter, Google are all located in Dublin. That was my phone. And so they're so tech heavy now, and so there's a huge Irish network here of technically savvy people who have these amazing startups all in Silicon Hills of Austin. I don't know if you know where that is. It's 360.
Mm-hmm. Do now.
Are you in with them?
I've met a couple of them. One of my husband's really good friends is the Irish consulate for Texas, Louisiana, Arkansas, and
he's here now. He just released a piece stuff for me on Peace Day, Austin.
Okay.
The Irish consulate.
Oh, yeah.
He
Adrian,
just opened us up.
Farrell,
one of the nicest guy. He so excited to be here, and he kept saying over and over, he never expected Austin to be so like Ireland. He was having a ball here, but yes.
Well, that is great. Well, we've run long, as we always do, so we're out of time. But let me just ask you, for the two musical performers here, if you guys were to like be doing a duet together, what song do you think it would be?
Oh man, like in the show?
No, in any show. No. Like if you're, I mean, are you gonna be Curly and Hoji? Or are you gonna be?
No, I would pick.
No, this is the two of you.
No,
so
I would pick
Mackenzie and Kelsey
from Baby.
What would be better from Baby?
I forgot about that musical. That was like my dream in high school.
Why don't y'all do just a little piece of it right now?
Oh my God, I don't even remember it.
Oh, I know it.
Like, what?
Okay.
I'm picturing your lips with my eyes for a boy that's a perfect hair.
Well, that's good. That's a good start.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, thank you guys for joining us backstage here.
Thank you.
Thank you.
We look forward to having y'all back joining us.
Oui, oui.
Okay, adios.